Hosea chapter number 2, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Hosea writing here, and he says, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I? And to your sisters, Rahamah. Plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst." Now may the Lord bless that. And so let's pause to pray. Ask God's help. Our Father, I'm grateful for the Word of God. And as we've already heard this morning, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So I pray that you'll take my heart this morning, and God, that you'll bring out of it what the Lord would have me to say. Help me, I pray, to yield myself over fully to the Holy Spirit of God for special guidance and direction today. I do pray for that anointing and anointment that can only come, Lord, from Thee as You fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray You'll grant liberty and divine help and power and unction. May hearts be changed, Lord, today. May Your people be revived. May sinners come to know Christ today. Help me, Lord, I pray, to rightly divide Your Word today and be a blessing to those that are here and those by the radio. And we'll do it. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. All right, I want to begin just simply by saying this morning that some of the writers are divided. I'm going to preach out of verse 1. I want to read it. For the Bible said, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I? And to your sisters, Rahamah." Now, some of the writers that I've read after believe that verse number 2, or chapter number 2 and verse 1, is just a follow-up from chapter number 1. While others believe that it separates here in this chapter and picks up on a completely different thought. Well, I'll be honest, I've seen how they can view it in both ways and both of them be right. But I want to try to use verse number 1 this morning as a continuation from chapter number 1. Because I believe that it does. In chapter number 1, if you remember, the Lord had said unto His people, had given Hosea a child, and called that child's name Lo Rahamah. And it simply means that I will have no mercy. And God's what He's saying is, I'll have no more mercy on the nation of Israel. And then, after Lo Rahamah was weaned, his wife gave birth to a son called Lo Ammi. Now you notice the Lo, the two words Lo, in front of these names. Lo Rahamah and Lo Ammi. And Lo Ammi means that you're not my people. And so what God is saying here is, I'm not going to show you any more mercy. And the reason I'm not going to is because you're not my people anymore. And so therefore, I'll show you no more mercy, and neither will I show you any more mercy. But you know, our God is a very merciful God and very long-suffering with His people. And I'm amazed that in chapter number 2, that he tells Hosea, don't say to the people anymore, don't say to your brethren, Lo Ammi, that I'll show no mercy, but say to them, Ammi, say to them that mercy, that ye are my people. Don't say to them, I'm not your people. Say to them, ye are my people. And your sisters, say to them, Rahamah, which means that you have obtained mercy.
And so what God is saying here is that His people are still His people, and there's still mercy to be had from the Lord. But here's what I want to preach on this morning. He said in that verse, say unto them. Say unto them. I want you to go out and say unto them. I want you to say unto them, Amen. That they are my people. And say unto them, Lo Rahama, that I'll pity them, that I'll show them mercy again. And he said, you say that. You say that to them. And so I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought. Spread the tidings round. Spread the tidings round wherever man is found. Spread the glorious tidings all around. Now, in the closing verses of chapter number 1, the Lord was promising mercy to His people, the nation of Israel, and to His southern tribes called Judah. And that those who were not His people should once again be His people, and those who had not received mercy should receive mercy. Now, I want to say that we who have been so vile, and we who have been so, have provoked the eyes of His glory, and we who have sinned against the mercy of God itself, that we show mercy should find mercy follow us to make us His people and to save us from our wrath, that we ought to go tell that to others and to say unto our brethren, Anna, that God, that you are God's people. And we ought to say unto our sisters, Rahuma, that you are pitied from the Lord. And so I want to preach on that thought this morning. Spread the tidings round. Now, I sat and wondered about this. What we're doing, really, to spread the tidings round about a gracious and a glorious God. This is not in my notes, but I want to say to you this morning that I'm glad that God forgives sin. The psalmist said about the Lord that if He would mark iniquities, who would stand? That is, if God would circle you in and mark your iniquities, can't let them remain upon your life and in your heart, who would stand? May I say to you that nobody would. But I'm glad that God is a tender-hearted God. I'm glad that God will show mercy to His people. I want to say to you, God forbid that any of us should go out here and sin against God. But I do want to say that there is forgiveness with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad there is an advocate at the right hand of God, and that there is forgiveness with the Lord. And you may know somebody today. You may have somebody in your mind today that has been saved, but there's sin somewhere in their life. You ought to go tell them, spread the tidings round, that God said that there's forgiveness with them, that they can be His people, and that there is mercy to be had with the Almighty God. Amen. Spread the tidings round this morning. Now the psalmist said in Psalm 92 and verse number 1, he said, It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises unto the Most High. For what reason, Brother Psalmist, should we do that? To show forth the loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. The Lord said that we ought to sing His praises unto His name, unto the Most High God, and then show forth God's loving kindness. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's one good thing to tell somebody about something, but I want you to know that we're living in a world that's not wanting to so much hear as they are wanting to see. There is a generation out there that wants to see the reality of God living in your life and God living in my life. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to say this honestly, if we have nothing to praise our God about, how in the world are we going to sell a lost and a dying world on God out there and convince them that their life of sin is any worse than the life we're living if we have nothing to offer them, no praises to God? If we can't show forth the praises of our God to that crowd out there, then we have no right to tell them with our mouth that they're dying and going to hell. Amen. If we have nothing to show them with our very life. Amen. That's right. Some people said, I'm from Missouri, you got to show me. And that's sometimes that's right. Hallelujah. Come on now, say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the old cliche, actions speak louder than words, is right. Amen. The psalmist said, show them the praises of God. How are you going to show them the praise? They're going to have to see it, amen. That's right. They're going to have to see the praises of God. And if we can't even come to church and show forth the praises of God, how in heaven's name are we going to show the praises of God out there to a lost and a dying world? Come on now, somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you what he says in the book of Psalm 145 in verse number 4. He said, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I want to ask you something. Show thy mighty acts. I want to, and thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. What generation is he talking about? Thou shalt declare the mighty works of God from one generation to another generation. Now, you might as well loosen up and say amen, because God will let me. I'm going to get in some tater patches and hold some tater patches here this morning. Might as well say amen. What generation is he talking about showing those praises to and letting that generation know that there's something in our heart that somebody else don't have, amen, and whatever's in there has brought us joy and has brought us peace and brought us grace and given us a happy life living for the glory and honor of Almighty God? I'm going to tell you what generation he's talking about. He's talking about that generation sitting on your lap. He's talking to that generation sitting right beside where you're sitting this morning. He's talking about that generation of your children. Hey, you're never going to convince your children you got anything from God unless you show them in your life that you got what you say you ought to have. I started a while ago sitting back there to change my message and preach on the home this morning. I think it's needed to preach on the home. How is your home getting along this morning? Do they see you in the home showing forth the praises of God and the mighty acts of God? Or do they see you in the home stomping and ranting and raving and acting like some torn down fool, as my mama said, fussing and a fighting and a carrying on all the time? Hey, kids got to see something out of you, or they're never going to believe what you say if they don't see it. Amen. That's right. We got a generation that wants to see something, folks. Something real. Something right. Something holy. It's one thing to tell them. It's another thing to show them. Amen. I mean, it's kind of like I was when I was growing up. My daddy caught me smoking, took me out behind a woodshed, and burnt my hind end up for sucking on a cigarette. Walked back in the house, pulled out a pack of Camels out of his pocket, and fired one up. And there I am sitting over scratching my head. Well, he just panked my... how I did for lighting one of them up, and now he's lighting one of them up. He's doing the same thing I'm doing. He ain't no better than I am. I wonder who's going to burn his britches up. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yep.
All right, amen, that's right. Somebody said, well, I'm not doing anything at the house. Well, that's exactly the point I'm making. What are you doing at the house?
Amen.
When was the last time you gathered your family around an old-fashioned altar, ladies and gentlemen, and read the Bible to them,
amen,
and had prayer with them, and sang a few hymns with them, and got loose with them, and worshiped God with them in the home? Somebody said, oh, the home ain't made for that. I beg to differ with you. I'm here to tell you that if you can't worship God in the home, you'll never worship Him down at the house of God. It's amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. We're awful slack in that department, ain't we? It's awful easy to get on somebody else's sin. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes home to where we're living,
amen,
it's an altogether different story. And somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you're always talking about how we ought to praise the Lord. Well, have you ever read in the Bible how many times it says praise the Lord? Have you ever read how many times that word praise is in the Bible? Have you ever studied out what that word praise in the Bible is talking about?
Yeah.
How can we help but to praise Him that has done so much for us, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, He that knew no sin left the glories of heaven under His own volition, condescended into this world, and gave His life on Calvary that you and I might be saved by the good grace of God. Hey, and we ought to go out and tell that generation, hey, you are God's people. And God will show mercy to you. Amen. That's right. That's right. If God showed mercy to mom and dad, God will show mercy to the children as well. Don't you believe that?
Yes.
Come on now. Some of you just sitting there. I'm going to tell you, some of you just sitting there looking and staring.
Yes.
But that's all right. You ain't bothering me one bit. You ain't bothering me a bit. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. He said, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. I meditated on that in a little while. Now, what in the world is he talking about? We'll utter abundantly the memory of thy great goodness. He's got to be talking about that day we met the Lord at Calvary. Oh, he's got to be talking about that day. You know, the Bible said that Joseph raised up the sons, his grandsons, the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh, he raised them up on his knees. That's what the Bible said in Genesis 45. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wonder, hey, they wasn't just sitting there killing time when Joseph sitting there with them boys on his knees. I'm going to tell you, I believe he was uttering abundantly to them about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
He probably told them, now boys, I don't want you to hold a grudge, but your uncles one time, they took me and throwed me into a pit and took my coat, put goat blood on it, sent it to my father, told my father that I was dead. Some animal killed me. But lo, God lifted me out of that pit. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to tell you what. What's wrong with setting your children on your knee and telling them, hey, Daddy one time was in a pit, in a horrible pit, had my feet hung up in the miry clay and couldn't get out of the miry clay, but God Almighty came along where I was and reached out an omnipotent hand of mercy and lifted me out of the miry clay, son, and what He's done for you, He'll do for me. I mean, he looked over at that other little boy and said, I'm going to tell you something else. You know, they sold me to them Midianites and said they brought me down into Egypt and sold me into slavery at old Potiphar's house. And said, but kids, your daddy's got some kidneys up here. You're going to you laugh at that after a while. And said, besides that, said, I'm going to tell you something. Your grandpa found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And while I was there in Potiphar's house, he made me keeper and he gave me charge over everything that he had.
Amen.
Said, but his wife set her eyes on me. Said, now I want you to remember, son, what I'm getting ready to tell you. That woman set her eyes on me and said, I fled from the house, but you caught my coat and ripped that coat apart. And told Potiphar that day when he come in, said, that Hebrew you hired tried to lay with me. And said, old Potiphar had me thrown in the prison house. Hallelujah to God. But said, boys, I'm going to tell you something about the goodness of God.
Amen.
Now I'm trying to utter to you abundantly about the goodness of God. He said, remember I told you how God lifted me out of that pit?
Amen.
He said, well, Potiphar threw me in the prison. And said, there I was. Said, hey, I even found grace in the prison house. And the keeper made me keeper over all the inmates that was inside that prison. And said, one day a baker and what was that other fellow, the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker? Amen. Huh? Butler and the baker. And I don't know which one of them it was. But one of them was going to get reinstated. And he said, there I am sitting in that prison house. And said, one of them died, but said, Pharaoh reinstated the other and said, he forgot all about me sitting down in this prison house. After he told me, he'd tell the king about me. But he said, one day it come to his mind and he told the king, aren't you glad, come on, Daddy, aren't you glad one day, hallelujah to God, that you come to the mind of the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost told the king where you were in that prison house, hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you just like he told Ephraim and Manasseh, you can tell your grandsons or your sons, Grandpa or Daddy was in that prison house, and God one more time. He not only swept by the pit and lifted me out of the pit, but by the grace of God, he brought me out of the prison house as well. Hallelujah. Well, Grandpa, what did he do to you then? He exalted me and set me down at the right hand of Jesus on high, and we're seated together in heavenly places in him. Somebody say amen right there. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that we are to abundantly utter the goodness of God to the generation that's following us.
Amen.
If there's ever a problem in our Baptist churches, that's it.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe you. You can be wrong, be an idiot if you want to.
Amen.
What would you do if you headed for home today? And one of your boys or girls that's old enough looked over at you and said, Daddy, or one of your girls looked over and said, Mommy, said, when the preacher this morning was preaching on coming out of that pit or coming out of that prison and how Jesus brought us out of that prison house and you just sat there, don't you have any joy whatsoever in your heart concerning being brought out of that prison and out of that pit? If you don't, something may be wrong with you, Daddy. Something may be wrong with you, Mama. You're not showing forth the praises of God to this generation. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're telling them that church is just a routine. That church is just somewhere to go to salve our conscience. Church is just somewhere to go because we're supposed to go there and socialize a little bit. I'm telling you, church is a place that we're to come to and worship and praise our God for what God has done for you and I in our lives. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You're looking at one old boy that knows where he was at when God found him. Woo! Hallelujah to God. He not only brought me out of the pit, he opened the prison door and let me out. Amen. And like an eagle, I took to the sky. Woo! Amen. Thank God. That's right. That's right. Lord, you know what? Listen carefully now. If you're not careful, This ain't my altogether my outline, but it's the way I'm going to preach it. If you ain't altogether careful, your children are going to begin to get the idea that you're a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? One with two faces. That's what your children are going to do. They're going to think you're a hypocrite. Now, my note says, spread the tidings without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite about it. In other words, hey, it must first make an impression upon your own heart. I'm here to tell you, if knowing, are you listening to me? If knowing in our heart that we have found mercy from God and have become the people of God, and God said we ought to spread that around to the next generation, speak it, tell it to them, and we're not doing that, maybe it's because there's nothing there to tell them about, and we've been living a life of hypocrisy ever since we were saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Somebody said, do you think we all ought to climb the walls? No, but sometimes I wish I had a climbing gear, buddy.
Amen.
Amen to God. That's right. Hallelujah. I've shouted all over our house before.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, that's stupid. Is it? I don't know what it is. I remember one time I went to preach a revival meeting for Brother Hyatt, Miss Hall and I. We're going to start for him on a Saturday, Sunday morning. We pulled in that parking lot Saturday and Jordan Ashley was with us. We had a CD in the car. They started playing that song by the Primitive Quartet, He's Still Passing By. And it was a live version. That woman was in the back, and she started going, "Woo! Woo!" And old Monk sitting there, and her eyes got real big. I said, "What's wrong with you, Monk?" He said, "That's my mommy. That's my mommy. You hear her? That's my mommy." That wasn't her mommy, but you know what made her say that? She had heard her mommy worship.
Amen.
She had heard her mommy worship, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time your children saw you worship God? Come on in. I know this is a touchy spot. We like to come to church and hear a little sermonette and hear somebody don't challenge us to worship God or live for God or do right. I understand we like that. But I'm telling you, unless we're worshiping God and praising God, we're not right with God in our hearts. Amen or amen. Praise God, when Brother Steve taught on adultery this morning, I had to say oh me a few times on some of the things he's talking about. And if y'all had been out here, some of you women had to say oh me about it too. Now, I'm not talking about committing the very act. He got down to where some nitty gritties out on adultery. Now, if we can say oh me, surely we can say amen. That is... Come on in the house now. We don't be a hypocrite about it. It's first got to make an impression upon our own heart. Somebody say amen right there. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. That's simply saying if you're laboring in something, you got to partake of it first. And what I'm telling you here, if mommy and daddy ain't never been partakers of it, how do you expect your children never be partakers of it? Oh, God help us today. God help us today. Somebody said, preacher, all that carrying on's in the flesh. Son, hey, thank God it is in the flesh right now. If we ever start cranking up out of the flesh, we're going to be out of this world. Somebody say amen. Now, I know when it's carnal. I know when it's not of God. But I'm telling you, I know when it is of God.
Amen.
Amen. You can like what I'm saying, lump it, hump it, bump it, jump it, dump it. Don't make no difference to me, friend. That's the way it is. Some of you dried up like a prune. You got wrinkles all over you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm just not talking about in the skin either. It is possible, hey, listen, don't be a hypocrite. It's possible to try to correct others. When we ourselves have noticeable sin in our own life. You know what the Bible said in Romans and chapter number 2? Listen carefully. It said in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let me read that for you very quickly. He said, therefore thou art an inexcusable old man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. I'm going to tell you what he said in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judgest his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgest the law. Come on in the house. Praise God, it's preaching time. I'm going to tell you what we're always wanting to do. We want to correct everybody else for the sin that they've got in their life. Amen. We want to correct everybody else for the sin that is in their life. And I'm going to tell you what our problem is. Praise God, you better open up and take a good look at what's on your inside before you start correcting somebody else. We come to church and sit in the pew and get up and go home and never worship God, never say amen, just sit there starry-eyed, never smile, and amen. And then we want to try to correct somebody else in the church for a sin that they've got in their life. I'm going to tell you, you better sweep out your own stinking back door, sir, before you start cleaning up somebody else's. Amen. That's right. That's right. If you don't like that, you can get right about it. I mean, don't be a hypocrite. If you see sin in somebody else's life, you better make sure your life adds up with a book before you start correcting them. Amen. Or at least trying to add up with a book. Amen. Start to say something else, but I won't. We ought to spread those tidings not only without hypocrisy, but with spread them with humility. I'm telling you, those who reprove and admonish others with bitterness of spirit and evil speaking are like a, as the writer said, they're like a foolish fowler who seeks to get a fowl but goes boisterously and makes a noise. The way, if he would get it, is to go quiet and softly and gently. So the way to gain a brother is not by boisterousness and violence, but softness and gentleness. Now that, oh boy, ain't that, God help us. I mean, hey, boy, we're quick to set somebody down. Come on now. We're quick to set somebody down and to correct them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, you can tell in the mind. That mind is a flame, boy.
Right.
That mind is on fire. We're going to set them right. We're going to tell them how things are. We're going to line them out. We're just going to set them down. Bless God, and we're going to line them out. I'm going to tell you, the only thing you're going to do is to make somebody else mad when you try to line them out that way. Brother Hereford, I remember when I was in Green Valley, Arizona. Bless God, if there's ever a place that'd make a man get mad, that was a place to do it. I mean, that crowd tried to pick me like, pick my body like flesh, like picking bones, boy. I'm telling you, when I left there, I thought, thank God and Greyhound, I'm gone. Amen. But I mean, they just tried to pick me to death. And I'm going to tell you, they picked along one day. I got kind of riled up about it, and I just stood up in their beach. They had 8 millionaires in a church with 50 people in it. And they was running what they called a blind school ministry, and all they had was a blind couple there and they were supposed to be the teachers, and they didn't have one student. They finally built a little building and were soliciting the government for funds to run a blind school ministry in a nonprofit organization and didn't have no nonprofit organization.
Right.
And old Hall found out about it. Don't ask me how. I just seen some things on a computer one day that a woman was looking at. She didn't know I was standing there. And I seen some things on that computer, and I said, well, what do you know about this? So I started preaching on that, and they didn't like it. You can believe I done it, can't you?
Amen.
And they didn't like it. Not one bit did they like it. So they cornered me up 3 or 4 times, and about the third time they cornered me up, buddy, I stood up and let them know. And I'd raise my voice in them other meetings, but I just finally in that last meeting, Brother Steve, I stood up and I said, well, I'm going to tell you guys one thing. And I was younger back then than I am now. I said, there's one way to settle this, bless God. Let's hit the parking lot. Amen. I said, I'm just about fed up, you bunch of devils in here. That's it. I've had all I'm taking off of you. Parking lot or shut up, whichever one you want to do. When that meeting was over, I'll never forget old Brother Dick Bose. Old Brother Dick Bose come up to me out back. Brother Jerome, he said, preacher, he said, I'm on your side. You know that. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you remember what Solomon said in Proverbs? That a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I felt, I shrunk. And I realized that I'm not going to help those men with a boisterous, egotistical, know-it-all, perfect man attitude. I can't find in the Bible anywhere where our Lord ever treated anybody that way. Except when he went into the temple and took a scourge and run him out of the temple. Even Judas kissed him and betrayed him. And he said, Judas, thou son of Simon, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He didn't jump all over. They come out there after him in the book of John and said Judas was amongst them. He said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I'm him. And they went away backwards and fell down. He just let them know he had a little more power than they did. They were so foolish. They were so foolish they still went back and got him and took him and crucified him. Never one time. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Never one time did our Lord ever, even when he was scourging the temple, he was never angry. Not once. But how many times have you and I, when we're to be spreading the tidings around that we're God's people and God will show us mercy, do we go to somebody and try to straighten them out with a wrong attitude and a bitter spirit and wrong in our own heart, never got right with God and we're trying to straighten somebody else out about it?
Amen.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. I won't say we ought to spread the tidings. These good tidings round, spread them from the heart. It ought to be a heartfelt thing. The Bible said in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do heartily, heartily. That don't just mean do it rapid and this and that. It means from the heart as well. Do it heartily. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. In other words, hey, do it lively. Put your whole heart into it. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that a more simpler way? I'm just telling you, if you can't gain people that way, you're not going to gain them at all. If you cannot gain them by showing them what God has done in your life, we're not going to gain them. Words are cheap. Talk is cheap. That crowd out there is looking for somebody that will walk the walk and talk the talk. And I got news for you. People in the church that are not right with God, they're looking for somebody also that's walking the walk and talking the talk. And if you ain't right with God, you're trying to straighten them out. You're doing nothing but hurting yourself and them too. Oh, preacher, I wish I hadn't said that. Too late. I already said it.
Amen.
Do it lively. Do it with love. Somebody said, you're getting awful lovey-dovey. I'm getting a little older.
Amen.
I told Brother Steve the other day, I said, Brother Steve, I said, it's a shame. It really is. And I don't understand why it works out this way. But I said, I've heard other preachers say it, and I thought, nah, they don't know what they're talking about. But I said, I'm soon to be 63 years old. And I have been preaching now since 1980. I've been preaching 29 years. 29 years I've been trying to preach that book. And I said, after 29 years, I'm just beginning to learn how a preacher ought to try to preach to his people. And God knows I'm roughing up. And I know the looks on my face sometimes. Y'all think I'm mad. But just because I've got an expression over here, I'm not mad. I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get into it. I'm putting my all into it. I preached one time. The next Monday, come in, Brother Steve, the preacher said, I thought your face was going to burst last night. He said, your face was as red as blood. He said, I thought it was going to pop open. Well, I wasn't mad. I guess I'm trying to stress the point a little too hard, I reckon, sometimes. But sometimes you need to stress that point. But I'm going to tell you, it needs to be done in love. Do you think that when Simon Peter told the Lord, when the Lord said, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die and this and that, and Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. You think the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. No, the Lord turned around and looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. I've got news for you. Now I've preached this. You know when the Lord corrected Peter? Peter denied him three times. In John 21, three times, Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these, Peter? Lovest thou me more than these, Peter? Lovest thou me more than these, Peter? But I'm going to tell you something. You know how he corrected him? He fed him first. That's, you can apply that spiritually. We ought to never correct anybody until we've been fed from that book. Or we fed ourselves. Are you listening to me? And then Jesus took him in the arm and said, would you come down here? I want to talk to you a minute. He didn't embarrass him in front of the whole crowd and all those other disciples. He took him off to himself. But here comes old John easing down the way. And I'm going to tell you, people are so hard to learn. The Lord told Peter. The Lord had just told Peter. Here's how you're going to die. This. He said, I want you to, Peter, just follow me. Just follow me. And in the very next verse, the Bible said, Peter, Jesus said, follow thou me. The very next verse, the Bible said, and Peter turned around and saw John. Very next verse, he turned. Instead of following, he turned. Then he started wondering what that man's going to do. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, folks, we need to take care of ourselves before we take care of someone. Old Brother Peter said, what about this man? And the Lord said, what is that to you? What is that any of your business? I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of times we want to rule somebody else's business. We don't know how to rule our own business, friend. And if we're going to spread these tidings around, we better do it in love. And we better do it because of blessings of joy that it brings to us. And I'm going to say, and I'm just about done, we ought to spread it hopefully. That is expecting to help someone. Expecting to help someone.
Amen.
Say unto your brethren, Ami, to your sisters, Rahama. Now, I've not preached this at all the way I intended to preach it. I told you I couldn't because of the way the service went. I knew I couldn't. You have obtained pity. And that's what we ought to tell. Listen, are you listening to me? You know why we ought to tell people that? If you realize that some people in this church are probably just a little bit spiritually tired, that they've been fighting battles that you and I know nothing about,
right.
And they may be just a little spiritually tired or wore out. I couldn't hear everything that Elizabeth said this morning, but I know that her heart had been broken. I don't know everything she said. She might have been getting just a little tired. Wouldn't it have been something we'd have come in here this morning and ripped her out? And she's already got a broken heart. What if I'd come in here this morning and ripped you out and you've already got a broken heart? What if I come in here this morning and some of you come up here and rip me out and I've already got a broken heart and I'm tired and I'm weary and I've been fighting the battle? Hey, now I'm telling you, and we're fighting the battle and seeing very little results. We're not moving forward in this war, and it's easy for the man of God to get tired. He doesn't need to be bad-mouthed.
Man.
He needs an encouraging word along the way. Because it gets tiresome. You see it twice a week. Some of you don't see it that much because you lay home half the time. But I see it every week, 5 days a week, and the whole load of it falls on me. And sometimes a man of God gets tired. And wouldn't it be wonderful sometime, instead of coming up and laying another burden on the preacher, just put your arm around him and say, "Hey, preacher, I want to tell you something. God showed us mercy, man.
Amen.
And we're still His people.
Amen.
Things is rough, preacher.
Amen.
But we're still His people. He's still our God. He'll work things out. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what you're going through today, but He'll work it out for you.
Amen.
Because you're still His people and He's still your God. I'm telling you the best way I know how this morning. I'm trying to say unto you, Emmy. Not Mo Emmy, but Emmy.
Amen.
And I'm trying to say unto you, Rahama. Not Lo Rahama, but Rahama. That there's still pity with God.
Amen.
God will still show pity to you.
Amen.
What I'm trying to tell you this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in your heart. And most of you never say anything at all to me about it. And in a way, I'm glad you don't. But I can sure get up here and look at you and know that you're probably tired too. When I was in Vietnam, it wasn't hard to tell when the platoon I was with was getting tired. Sogged in soggy rice patties and leeches crawling around all over you. Eating cold sea rations when you could find them. Staying up all night, most of the night, half the night, the other night. Marching through jungles in 120 degrees and you can't breathe and you got to hack your way through with a machete. I know what it's like to be tired, and I looked at those other guys, and I realized they were tired. You think I wanted to crawl all over them? If there was any way possible, we need to encourage and help one another. Because I was tired, I knew they were tired. And I'm carrying a PRC 25 radio on my back. I'm tired, my shoulders hurt. And I'm going to tell you what I'd have thought if one of them come up to me and said, "You know something, you're a punky wimp." I'd have probably said, "Is that right, bud? How'd you like to have a long thrust vertical butt stroke series upside your head?" And I remember that day with that fruit and candy from Mama when I couldn't carry it on that ambush all the way. The next morning I woke up and that old boy walked up there and said, "Do you want some cookies?" I said, "You know we ain't got no cookies." He said, "I set them stupid cookies down on the trail along the way last night." He said, "Oh, when you set them down," said, "we picked them up and carried them." He said, "Here's your box of cookies." And I said, "Well, hallelujah to God." Old Fessmar looked over and said, "You set them down last night?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "You know, I told you if you set them down what I was going to do to you." I said, "Yes, sir, I do." But he said, "You got some buddies. It helps you out." He said, "By the way, can I have one of them?" I said, "Yes, sir." We gathered that whole platoon that morning and ate Mama's no-bake cookies and fudge. You know, a big square box, that big a square, you know how much was left when we got ready to leave? You What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we have. We helped them. They helped me. I couldn't tell them they were saved. I wasn't even saved myself at the time. But we helped one another. My goodness! I thought as Christians we were supposed to bear the burdens of our brethren, ladies and gentlemen. Help them carry the load that they've been carrying. We don't know what load or what burden they're under right now. Lord, help them carry it if we can. Not more than any time you've got a load, you need somebody to help you, call Brother Hall. I ain't got much, but I'll get under it with you. They're tired. We don't know that there's some that are being tried.
Amen.
And many may be tied to sin. They're still bound to some sin. We want to lay the lash to them because they've not been able to break away from a sin. Somebody said, if they don't broke away from it, we ought to lay the lash to them. What sin are you under?
Amen.
Then we ought to spread the tidings. I've always said this, in the home. In the home. Tell them kids about it. Make a joyful sound. Sing the praises of the Lord. Tell your children, God will pity you and God will save you.
Amen.
God help us. May God help us today. Spread the wonderful tidings that we're still His people and He'll still pity us.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you think our church is in sin, these people were living in spiritual idolatry. That's pretty rough. And God didn't just cast them off. And next time I preach them here, I'm going to look at it from another angle. God help us. Spread the tidings to the people here. Let's stand.